Royalty in Ruin, Chapter 34, Jeremiah, the Man Who Felt God's Anguish. Jeremiah had hoped for a permanent reformation under Josiah. He had been called by God to the prophetic office while still a youth. As a member of the priesthood, Jeremiah had been trained from childhood for holy service. In those happy years, he little realized that God had chosen him from birth to be a prophet to the nations. When the divine call came, he was overwhelmed. "Ah, Lord God," he exclaimed, "I cannot speak, for I am a youth." Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 5 and 6. In the young Jeremiah, God saw one who would be true to his trust and stand for the right against great opposition. In childhood, he had proved faithful, and now he was to endure hardship as a soldier of the cross. "Do not say, 'I am a youth.' Do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you. Speak to them all that I command you. Do not be dismayed before their faces, lest I dismay you before them. For behold, I have made you this day a fortified city and an iron pillar, and bronze walls against the whole land. They will fight against you, but they shall not prevail against you. For I am with you, says the Lord, to deliver you." Verses 7, 8, and 17 through 19. For 40 years, Jeremiah would stand as a witness for truth and righteousness. In a time of unparalleled apostasy, he was to give an example in life and character of the worship of the true God. He was to be the mouthpiece of Jehovah. He was to predict the downfall of the house of David and the destruction of the beautiful temple built by Solomon. Imprisoned, despised, hated, rejected by others, he was finally to share in the sorrow and woe that would follow the condemned city's destruction. Yet Jeremiah was often permitted to look beyond the distressing scenes of the present to the glorious future when God's people would be planted again in Zion. "Their souls shall be like a well-watered garden, and they shall sorrow no more at all." Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 12. Jeremiah wrote, "The Lord said to me, 'Behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, I have this day set you over the nations and over the kingdoms, to root out and to pull down, to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant.'" Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 9 and 10. A true prophet always builds. Thank God for the words, "to build and to plant." The Lord's purpose was to restore and to heal. Jeremiah was fearlessly to deliver prophecies of swift coming judgments. Yet he was to accompany these messages with assurances of forgiveness to all who would turn from their evil doing. Jeremiah worked to encourage the people of Judah to lay spiritual foundations broad and deep by thorough repentance. For a long time, they had been building with material that Jeremiah likened to dross. "People will call them rejected silver, because the Lord has rejected them." Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 30. Now he urged them to build for eternity, throwing away the rubbish of apostasy, and using as material pure gold, refined silver, precious stones, faith, obedience, and good works, which alone are acceptable to God. The word of the Lord was, "Return, backsliding Israel, and I will not cause my anger to fall on you. For I am merciful, says the Lord, for I am married to you." Jeremiah chapter 3, verses 12 through 14. And in addition, the Lord gave his erring people the very words with which they could turn to him. "We do come to you, for you are the Lord our God. We lie down in our shame, and our reproach covers us, for we have sinned against the Lord our God, we and our fathers, from our youth even to this day, and have not obeyed the voice of the Lord our God." Verses 22 and 25. The Reformation under Josiah had cleansed the land of shrines to idols, but the hearts of the multitude were not transformed. Thorns had choked the seeds of truth that had sprung up and given promise of an abundant harvest. Another backsliding like that would be fatal. Jeremiah called attention repeatedly to the counsels given in Deuteronomy. He showed how these could bring the highest spiritual blessing to the nation. "Ask for the old paths, where the good way is, and walk in it. Then you will find rest for your souls." Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16. On one occasion, at one of the principal entrances to the city, the prophet urged the importance of keeping holy the Sabbath day. If you heed me carefully, says the Lord, to bring no burden through the gates of this city on the Sabbath day, but hallow the Sabbath day, to do no work in it, then shall enter the gates of this city's king and princes sitting on the throne of David, and this city shall remain forever. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 24 and 25. If the people did not act on the appeals to obey the God of their fathers and to hallow his Sabbath, the city and its palaces would be utterly destroyed by fire. Only by the firmest measures could they bring about a change for the better. Therefore the prophet worked most earnestly for the unrepentant. O Jerusalem, wash your heart from wickedness, that you may be saved. Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 14. But the great mass of the people left the call to repentance unheeded. Those who ruled the nation had been untrue to their trust and had been leading many astray. From the beginning of Jehoiakim's reign, Jeremiah had little hope of saving his beloved land from destruction and captivity. Yet he was not to remain silent while complete ruin threatened the kingdom. He must encourage those loyal to God to continue in right doing, and if possible, he must persuade sinners to turn from iniquity. The Lord commanded Jeremiah to stand in the court of the temple and speak to all who went in and out. He must not soften a word. The prophet obeyed. He lifted his voice in warning and pleaded, "Hear the word of the Lord, all you of Judah who enter in at these gates. Amend your ways and your doings, and I will cause you to dwell in this place. Do not trust in these lying words, saying, 'The temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord are these.'" Jeremiah chapter 7, verses 2 through 4. God's marvelous loving kindness. This account shows vividly that the Lord is unwilling to chastise. He yearns over his erring children. In every way possible, he seeks to teach them the way of life. See Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 24. Though the Israelites had wandered in idolatry for a long time and ignored his warnings, yet he now declares his willingness to postpone punishment and grant yet another opportunity to repent. He makes plain that they could avoid the coming doom only by complete heart reform. Their trust in the temple and its services would be in vain. Ceremonies could not atone for sin. Only reformation of heart and of the life practice could save them from the result of transgression. Thus, in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem, the message of Jeremiah was, "Hear the words of this covenant, the instructions of God as recorded in the Scriptures, and do them." Jeremiah chapter 11, verse 6. The Lord inquired, "Why has this people slidden back, Jerusalem, in a perpetual backsliding?" Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 5. It was because they had refused to be corrected. See Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 3. Even the stork in the heavens knows her appointed times, and the turtle dove, the swift, and the swallow observe the time of their coming. But my people do not know the judgment of the Lord. Shall I not avenge myself on such a nation as this? Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 7, chapter 9, verse 9. While Josiah had been their ruler, the people had some ground for hope, but he had fallen in battle. The time for intercession had nearly passed. "Even if Moses and Samuel stood before me," the Lord declared, "my mind would not be favorable toward this people. Cast them out of my sight." Jeremiah chapter 15, verse 1. A refusal to accept God's current invitation would bring the judgments that had fallen on the northern kingdom more than a century before. The message now was, "If you will not listen to the words of my servants, the prophets whom I sent to you, then I will make this house like Shiloh, and I will make this city a curse to all the nations of the earth." Jeremiah chapter 26, verses 4 through 6. Those who stood in the temple court listening to Jeremiah clearly understood this reference to Shiloh. When in Eli's days the Philistines had carried away the Ark of the Covenant, Eli's sins consisted in treating lightly the evils prevailing in the land. His neglect to correct these evils had brought a fearful disaster on Israel. Eli lost his life. The Ark had been taken from Israel. 30,000 people had been killed, all because sin had flourished unrebuked and unrestrained. Israel had foolishly thought that, despite their sinful practices, the Ark would ensure victory over the Philistines. Likewise, During the days of Jeremiah, the people of Judah tended to believe that performing the appointed temple services would preserve them from punishment for their wicked course. What a lesson this is to people holding positions of responsibility in the church. What a warning to deal faithfully with wrongs that bring dishonor to the cause of truth. Let no one accuse the servants of God of being too zealous in trying to cleanse the camp from evil doing. Jerusalem's desolation in the days of Jeremiah is a solemn warning that we cannot disregard the counsels given through God's chosen instruments and expect no consequences to follow. Jeremiah's message stirred up the angry opposition of many. They cried out, "Why have you prophesied in the name of the Lord, saying, 'This house shall be like Shiloh, and this city shall be desolate without an inhabitant'?" And all the people were gathered against Jeremiah in the house of the Lord. Verse 9, priests, false prophets, and people turned on him who would not speak smooth things or prophesy deceit. They threatened God's servant with death. Jeremiah's courage saves his life. Soon the princes heard the news of Jeremiah's words, and they hurried from the palace to learn for themselves the truth of the matter. And the priests and the prophets spoke to the princes and all the people, saying, "This man deserves to die, for he has prophesied against this city, and you have heard with your ears." Verse 11. But Jeremiah boldly declared, "The Lord sent me to prophesy against this house and against this city with all the words that you have heard. Now, therefore, obey the voice of the Lord your God. Then the Lord will relent concerning the doom that he has pronounced against you. As for me, here I am in your hand. Do with me as seems good and proper to you. But know for certain that if you put me to death, you will surely bring innocent blood on yourselves, on this city, and on its inhabitants, for truly the Lord has sent me to you." Verses 12 through 15. If the prophet had been intimidated by those high in authority, he would have lost his life, but the courage with which he delivered the solemn warning earned the respect of the people and turned the princes in his favor. They reasoned with the priests and false prophets. In this way, God raised up defenders for his servant. The elders also united in protesting against the priest's decision regarding Jeremiah. Through the pleading of these influential men, the prophet's life was spared, although many priests and false prophets would gladly have seen him put to death on the charge of stirring up revolt against the authorities. To the close of his ministry, Jeremiah stood as a fortress, Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 27, against which human wrath could not prevail. "They will fight against you," the Lord had forewarned his servant, "but they shall not prevail against you." Jeremiah chapter 15, verse 20. Jeremiah's peaceful, shrinking disposition. Jeremiah was naturally timid, and he longed for a place of quiet seclusion where he would not need to witness the continued rebellion of his beloved nation. His heart was broken with anguish over the ruin that sin had brought. "Oh, that my head were waters and my eyes a fountain of tears," he mourned, "that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people. Oh, that I had in the wilderness a lodging place for travelers, that I might leave my people and go from them." Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 1 and 2. The arrows of scorn hurled at him pierced his sensitive soul. "I have become a laughingstock all day long. Everyone mocks me. Let us denounce him. All my close friends are watching for me to stumble. Perhaps he can be enticed, and we can prevail against him." Jeremiah chapter 20, verse 7 and 10, NRSV. But the faithful prophet was strengthened daily. "The Lord is with me as a mighty, awesome one," he declared in faith. "Therefore my persecutors will stumble and will not prevail. They will be greatly ashamed." Jeremiah chapter 20, verse 11. He learned to pray, "O Lord, correct me, but with justice, not in your anger, lest you bring me to nothing." Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 24. When tempted in his misery to say, "My strength and my hope have perished from the Lord," Lamentations chapter 3, verse 18, Jeremiah recalled the workings of God in his behalf and exclaimed, "Through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion," says my soul. "Therefore I hope in him." The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. It is good that one should hope and wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 through 26.